And good morning. Welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic. Let me just see if I can get my theme music off, if I can even find it. I'm sorry, boys and girls, it's kind of early in the morning, but we're gonna get it together here. At any rate, there's a lot of good news open right here. Let's start with the weather, though. It's 70 degrees, and looking for a high of 93 degrees humidity, so we can expect some rain. As a matter of fact, there's a flash flood warning in the tri-state area, so you guys that are going out and about, please be extraordinarily careful. Don't drive through deep, what it looks like, water, settled water. You don't know how deep it is until you actually get into it. And once you do, it's probably going to be too late, and your car, you can risk your car stalling and that sort of thing. And so it holds the potential for danger. So don't drive through standing water, and be careful. If you have to go out to get to work and that sort of thing, you know, just be vigilant. So there's a lot of news over the weekend. Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker tweeting furiously about a number of issues, you know, trying to distract attention from the fact that he's a mobbed up, orange-tinged bigot who half of this country, in their own denial of the racism, elected to the most powerful office in the land, most powerful office probably on earth, the presidency of the United States. Charles Blow has a great, I just became a fan of him. You know, a lot of the really, really good columnists I used to read, African-American columnists are around, but they're no longer writing, and I don't quite understand that. You know, Marie Kemp's famed writer from the New York Times, famed columnist, he wrote well into his 70s, 80s, and these guys are all that, if not more, and they still have something to offer, and I just never understood how we, you know, played a corporate shell game, you know, for 30, 40 years of our lives and didn't get unceremoniously pushed out the door. And I never quite understood that. You know, I know these guys make a tremendous amount of money, you know, eliminating their positions or asking them to take a voluntary buyout or retire, whatever, you know, saves the paper, the corporate paper, you know, a great deal of money. So, you know, we can understand it from a fiduciary perspective, a business perspective. From a strictly fourth estate or a news perspective, though, we cannot, because, you know, black columnists bring a sensitivity to the news that you can't get, you know, from white columnists. You know, and I like a lot of the European columnists that write, especially for the New York Times, but, you know, still I think their writing is dragged by their own ethnicity, their own sensibilities. So they don't get into the nitty-gritty of what I like to call a racial perspective, you know, incredible perspective that we need when we're putting things together in our head and trying to figure out what in the world is going on with this country. So anyway, let's get into Charles Blow's piece. You know, I think it bears reading. It's called The Coup, the Mooch, and the Loot. On Friday, a president with no political experience brought on a communications director with no communications experience. Trump tapped Anthony Scaramucci, a Wall Street snake investment huckster, to be the new communications director, move that caused Press Secretary Sean Spicer, who the New York Times reported vehemently disagreed with the appointment, to resign. So let me get this straight. Spicer was just fine with regularly walking out to that podium to spew and spin Trump's lies, but hiring the mooch, as Scaramucci is known, was the backbreaker? Okay, whatever, Sean. This illustrates best what is wrong with this communication shop, and by extension, this administration. No one is concerned with the truth. They are only concerned with their own trajectories. Nothing about this White House communications department was ever about communicating. On the contrary, it was always about deception, concealment, and equivocation. Informing the public was never the mission. Flattering Trump was the mission. But in the end, Trump will never be satisfied, because successful communications from him is to get people to buy his pack of lies. And that isn't really working the way it once did. Nothing will change the arrival of the Mooch Communications Office, because nothing has changed about the kook in the Oval Office. Some may find that descriptor harsh, but I find no appellation too coarse to express my outrage over Trump's character, behavior, and agenda. If anything, no words feel grave enough to properly express it. Trump is suffering horrendous approval ratings, an impotent legislative agenda, and his irrepressible impulse to shove his foot into his mouth. There is no real way to better package this disaster. For that reason, I found the shakeup far less interesting than the developments last week about the inexorably advancing Russia investigation. Maybe it's just me, but I'm not interested in palace intrigue. I'm interested in increasing possibility of prison and maybe even impeachment. Think about all of this happened last week. Donald Trump Jr., the former Trump campaign manager, Paul Manafort, were invited to testify in open session before the Senate Judiciary Committee about that shady meeting that they had in Trump Tower with a Russian lawyer. And Trump gave an astoundingly bizarre interview to the New York Times, in which he publicly slammed his own Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, for recusing himself from the Russian investigation, and drew a red line warning that Mueller should not investigate the Trump's family business dealings. Reuters reported the Russian lawyer who met Donald Trump after his father won a Republican nomination for the 2016 U.S. presidential election counted Russia's FSB security service among her clients for years. Russian court documents seen by Reuters show the Times also reported banking regulators are reviewing hundreds of millions of dollars in loan made to Mr. Trump's businesses through Deutsche Bank's private wealth management unit, which caters to an ultra-rich clientele, according to three people briefed in a review who were not authorized to speak publicly. The Times report continues, separately, Deutsche Bank has been in contact with federal investigators about the Trump accounts, according to two people briefed on the matter, and the bank is expected to eventually have to provide information to Robert Mueller III, the special counsel overseeing the federal investigation of Trump campaign ties to Russia. Not only did NBC report that Mark Kasavitz is no longer leading the president's group of private lawyers, Politico reported that Mark Carello, spokesman for the Trump legal team, resigned because he was, quote-unquote, concerned about whether he was being told the truth about various matters. If people on Trump's legal payroll are worried that they aren't being told the truth, how worried should the rest of us be? Very, I would venture. Then there was the Washington Post report. Some of President Trump's lawyers are exploring ways to limit or undercut Mueller's Russian investigation, building a case against what they allege are his conflicts of interest and discussing the president's authority to grant pardons, according to people familiar with the effort. The Post continued, Trump has asked his advisors about his power to pardon aides, family members, and even himself in connection with the probe, according to one of those people. I understand the press is giving a lot of attention to the drama changing press people, but that doesn't even register against the import of what's happening on a Russian investigation front. All those things have never made sense. Trump's warm and fuzzies for Vladimir Putin, the massive amnesia about meetings with Russia by people connected to the Trump campaign, Trump's prickly protectiveness about releasing financial details and documents, including his tax returns, must be made to make sense. Mueller will not be threatened, the investigation will not be closed or restricted, and the truth will be known. Incriminating personal communications are often hard to find. but financial records are often kept by third parties and tell their own story. As they say, follow the money. So, you know, what we see here, basically, Blow is reporting that this campaign is in this administration is in considerable trouble. And they're going to remain in considerable trouble because they're brazen. And, you know, this is white male privilege. There's no way to parse it. This is all this is, you know, where you have some stoogey old white guys that think they can get away with this stuff because they've been getting away with it all their adult lives. And unfortunately for them, time for reckoning has come upon them, and they're in denial relative to that reckoning, but it's here. And I think that irrespective of what Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker plans to do under what his lawyer's advice, counsel's advice, whatever, he's not going to be able to blanketly pardon everyone. And I don't know what Pence has, but it does make for some intriguing, for some interesting palace intrigue. And we're going to have to watch closely because, you know, we're at a very vulnerable juncture here in this country. And Chump is so desperate at this juncture to close down this investigation that he might enmesh us in a war, and then you'll hear the patriotic drums come out beating for uncritical support of his aggressions towards some country that have us immersed in World War III. This is how venal this guy is. So, you know, we're at a very tenuous point, and we have to be careful not to to stop or to cease being vigilant. Let's take a break, come back on the other side of the break to talk more about these new or latest developments right here, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, at 6:15 a.m. And we're back here, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the mic. 70 degrees outside, high probability of rain. So if you have to go out and drive, especially in low-lying areas, you know, those over on the Bell Parkway and in Queens and Brooklyn, that sort of thing, be extraordinarily careful not to drive through deep water. We have flash flood advisory in effect until 7 o'clock this evening. So we're talking about Chump the Brain Dead comic Carnival Barker on the other side of the break, and the palace intrigue associated with this administration, if you want to graciously characterize it in that manner. I don't. But you know, again, despite all the proposals being bandied about to dismantle wholesale social safety net to pay for some tax cuts for the ultra wealthy, and even those, upper middle class tax bracket, and anything over $100,000 a year would place a person solidly in the upper middle class tax bracket. You know, you have to be extraordinarily careful because, you know, it's like an illusion, you know, the feint of hand. You know, you're looking at the shiny object in one hand, and on the other hand, you know, they're looking to, you know, because he's already sent troops into Afghanistan, more troops, and it looks like there's an escalation there that no one's reporting in the news. So, and Afghanis, you know, I talked about this in a previous show. You know, they really handed Russia their ass in the early 90s, virtually bankrupted Russia. You know, they took a tremendous amount of casualties in their war with Afghanistan. And so I don't quite understand what we're doing in this country. There was just a report of an Afghani-trained police officer who shot three Special Forces or U.S. Army Special Operations Force soldiers to death. So it's an extraordinarily hostile theater. And I don't quite know what the end game is there for him, even though he has extraordinarily competent national security folks that are running that operation. I think that without a larger policy perspective framing it, we're just putting our troops in harm's way. And this is a pure about a tremendous, you know, an expansion of those hostilities, you know, because anything over there could easily turn from, you know, a small smoldering fire into a conflagration, given the tensions in that area, especially in the Middle East. But forget about the Middle East, you know, we're talking about North Korea, that are drawing China, which has one of the, if not the largest army on Earth. And certainly North Koreans aren't, they have a tremendous army, and all of their artillery is within, you know, a few miles of DMZ and can easily hit outside Seoul, if not Seoul itself, which is a very densely populated city in South Korea. So, you know, with respect to Trump, the brain dead comic carnival barker, we had to be extraordinarily careful, you know, that in his desperation, he doesn't intentionally escalate tensions with these countries, you know, and thereby draw us into unwittingly or wittingly, you never know, depending on your own philosophical outlook, draw us into World War III. So, I'm very, very weary. I've been looking, researching a lot, staying current on, you know, as we all are here at the Marketing Pulpit. But I've decided, you know, because of this administration, not to, you know, sort of take the ostrich with his head buried in the sand type approach to this administration. You know, for several shows, we didn't even discuss this guy, and we sort of ignored it. And you ignore this administration at your own peril, because everything that you built, your families built, your partners have built, your colleagues have built, your friends have built, are akin to standing on a foundation of sand. Given this administration, because everything can come tumbling down. This is the type of guy, we know Trump well here in New York, is the type of guy that, you know, he not only takes his ball from the playground and goes home if he is not giving the favorite treatment that he seeks. He's the type of guy that would have the playground raised if he became annoyed enough. And it's this sort of a scorched earth policy that frightens me tremendously, when we're discussing this guy. So I guess we just have to stay tuned and see where this guy is trying to take us. Let's take another break, come back on the other side of the break, and finish up. And we're back here at Marketing and Pulpit International, New York edition of yours truly, Dennis D. Shipping on the mic. We're talking about Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker on the other side of the break. And forgive me for that. A lot of my carts are just looping for some reason. I haven't had the opportunity to go through them and or to go through the settings. You know, we updated the operating system here, workstation in our studio. And I have to look at some of the settings, and I just simply haven't had the time, and I apologize for that. I'm catching it, but as you can see, you know, it tries to start anew when I am narrating. So, you know, forgive me for that. So at any rate, you know, what we were discussing on the other side of the break is, you know, the possibility that in his desperation, Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker will immerse us brutally into some conflict that that escalates out of control. You know, causes you know, a lot of people in this country, you know, these ultra patriotic types, you know, the persons in their 70s, 80s, 90s, 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, people that aren't going to fight. Their children aren't going to fight. Their children's children aren't going to fight, you know, because they're going to ensure it. They're going to make sure of it. And this is the danger inherent in how our armed forces are constructed. You know, here in these United States, you know, we don't have a draft, so our armed forces are going to comprise predominantly of lower class whites, blacks, Hispanics, and other minority groups, and they do a yeoman's job, don't get it twisted, but those simmering tensions, those simmering racial tensions still exist. There's a big article about it. As a matter of fact, on another show, some of the callers were calling in and talking about, you know, oh, there's no racism in the military, and another caller were saying, you know, disputing, you know, and some of the guys that were calling were obviously senior non-coms, you know, E9s, E8s, and stuff like that, and obviously they're going to defend the military, they're going to defend their branch, their service, but other lower-ranking non-coms, and some officers who were calling us, and those absolutely, you know, racism in the U.S. military. That being said, you know, a lot of the military folks, and I have people that in my family, you know, spent a great deal of time in the military, retired, and went on to other careers. Primarily in intelligence and law enforcement, that sort of thing. So they're, you know, the military is, you know, if we're going to blanketly characterize their politics, I would say that most are extremely conservative in their outlook, and so quite a few, believe it or not, probably support this administration. So, you know, again, it's something that we have to be careful about, and we're going to talk a lot more about over the coming weeks, and just watch how things unfold as Mueller's investigation starts to concretize, and that's what we all want to see. You know, we want to actually see some action in terms of how this investigation all comes together. So keep it tuned here, Marketing Pulpit International New York Edition, and listen to the rest of my colleagues right here on the Marketing Pulpit at 10:30 every day till 11, and on Friday, I believe from 10 to 11 or 11:30, and also on Saturday. I have a Saturday show now. So keep it tuned in right here, and have a very great week.